Welcome to another episode of Average Black Girl. We are here with episode 20 with the great Jeff Badu. Jeff Badu is one of my closest friends, and he's my accountant and my I have an idea how to make money partner, where I can just bounce ideas off. So Jeff, go ahead and give us your intro.
All right. So thank you all for tuning in. My name is Jeff Badu. I'm a licensed certified public accountant in the state of Illinois. I'm the owner. I'm essentially a wealth multiplier and a serial entrepreneur.
Oh, I like that.
I own a company called Badu Enterprises, LLC, which is a multinational conglomerate in the financial industry. And we provide different financial services. And our marquee company is Badu Tax Services, which is a CPA firm that provides tax preparation, planning, and representation for individuals and businesses. Our main goal is to ultimately, capture some money through tax savings, and then ultimately help you multiply wealth in ways that you've never knew existed. And we really pride ourselves when it comes to financial education, so that's something we definitely love to get people involved in.
Awesome. So this segment, we really want to have you take us through how you went from being the college senior that is studying accounting to becoming this wealth management multiplier, where your vision is to how much you want to save, how much money in taxes. What was the number? Didn't you say like over $1 million or something you're trying to do?
Yeah, so our goal last year was to save people $1 million in taxes.
Yes.
This year, our goal is $5 million. So we've actually 5x'd the rule.
Awesome. Okay, cool. So take us through. So you were studying and what?
Yeah, so I was studying accounting at the U of I. So, I was studying at U of I. I was there from 2010 through 2014, got a bachelor's in accounting and a master's in accounting in 2015. I got the CPA, or I finished the CPA exam in 2015. It was in the summertime. And then I started at PwC, or PricewaterhouseCoopers, in September of 2015. And basically, I was there a year. I mean, I actually interned there 3 years in the past. Didn't really like it too much. Just wasn't me. Wasn't my environment. Just didn't feel like I was being the best me. You know, there are certain restrictions. For example, I'm a very religious, or, I believe in a faith. And so some Sundays I had to drive out to client sites, which didn't allow me to be as, as religious as I wanted to be that day. So really wanted to step out and become an entrepreneur. I had a business plan that was going for about 6 years. So Badu Tax Services, and the name itself, actually, I mean, I'll give some history on that, but essentially I had a business plan going since my freshman year of college. Mm-hmm. I was doing taxes on the side. One of my friends, he hired me as a CFO. He was like, hey, I know you're an accounting major. You got to know how to do, numbers. And I was like, cool, let me do it. I'm the type of person, I say cool to everything, or most things, I should say. So just having that experience, gaining that comfort level over time, I started building. Before I started my firm, I had 100 clients. And now we're up to over 1,000, in 2019. So that's a massive growing company. We plan to continuously growing, and I'll be more than happy to share more about my entrepreneurship journey as we go through the presentation or go through the...
Okay, cool. So let's discuss you with your business plan. Were mm-hmm. your parents aware that you had this business plan? Did they have any type of like support, or was it all on you? Because I know that your parents were business minded, but they didn't really push entrepreneurship on you.
Yeah, I mean, my parents are entrepreneurs. That's always nice to have. Mm-hmm. So they were entrepreneurs, but they did not push me to become an entrepreneur. They just wanted me to work, go to school, get a job, and all that stuff. They didn't really push entrepreneurship. They've always pushed real estate, which is something I've always been interested in. So that's, the entrepreneurship side. But yeah, they didn't really get too involved with my entrepreneurship motivation or inspiration. I had to look to others. But yeah, they did not know about the business plan. I mean, they knew I was an accounting major, mm-hmm. but they didn't even start doing taxes with me until 2015 after I graduated college. And they knew already that I was already doing taxes. So yeah, they knew about it, but they didn't really
jump on board.
Exactly.
Okay, cool. I think that that's pretty standard. A lot of people's parents don't really support until you have hit a certain milestone or have proven to them how serious you're going to be. So if anybody's listening and your parents aren't as supportive as you would like them to be, know that that's pretty normal. And I think that we just more talk about normalizing that, that that's cool. And it's weird because you see like so many people are so supportive when people are kind of doing the wrong things. Like you see so many people that that celebrate when people come from jail or that are always bailing out that problem child. But when someone is trying to do something different, create their own lane, it's met with so much pushback and things like that. And I don't know why it is, but I think that as long as we're discussing it, it's so much easier for us to kind of get to the next step.
Definitely.
Okay, so now let's talk about you are working at a big four accounting firm and you're ready to put this business plan in motion. So what does that look like?
Yeah, so you know, before you start a business, before you jump into anything in life, you got to know what you're doing. You got to have a game plan. You know, so I have a 5-step model to starting any business. If you follow these 5 steps, you will be successful in business or at least the launch of your business. First step is you got to know what you want to do. You know, for me, I knew I liked taxes. I was an accounting major and I just, for some reason, when I did my first tax return, I fell in love with it. So I knew that's what I wanted to do. So I built a business plan on taxes. So then the second step really is to do some research around it. So I use a site called IBISWorld. So I researched the tax prep industry, growing at a rate of 4% every single year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, multi-billion dollar industry. A lot of clients, you know, it's I knew my competitors. I knew what they were doing. I knew what they were doing well, what they were not doing well. And my goal one day is to acquire those competitors. And essentially be a monopoly, ultimately, in the tax prep industry. So, you know, research the industry, that's step two. Step three is to build the business plan, which I started doing in 2010. That's my freshman year in college. That's when I initiated the business plan. So after doing all the research, I did the business plan. And of course, this business plan keeps growing every single day.
Mm-hmm.
The business plan today looks nothing like it did, you know,
When you first started, 9 years ago? Yep.
Exactly. So 9 years ago, that business plan does not look the same. So that's step three. Step four is to test it out on a few clients. So what I did was I tested it out on family, friends, you know, my parents, you know, people that I knew that they trusted me. And I had about 100 of those people to support me,
mm-hmm.
you know. And then step five, my favorite part is executing the plan. And, you know, we're growing. We're now up to 10 companies within the umbrella.
Nice. So let's name the companies or at least the industry.
Mm-hmm. So Badu Enterprises mm-hmm. owns Badu Tax Services, mm-hmm. which is a tax firm.
Mm-hmm.
Badu Investments, which is a real estate investment company,
okay.
as well as a car rental agency.
Nice.
Also Badu Financial Fitness, which is a financial coaching company.
Nice.
Badu Protection, which is a life insurance agency.
Okay.
You know, there's the Badu brand, basically. And the reason why we chose the Badu brand, you would guess, but it's because of Erica Badu. She already has a very popular name. So
right.
like, for people to, like, see it, it was a branding, you know, it was a marketing method, too.
Yeah.
So that way they see it like, wow, you know, Erica. They think it's associated with Erica Badu. Hopefully she doesn't do anything
crazy.
Are
you related?
No, I'm not related to Erica Badu. I used to get away with that, but not anymore. But, you know, so those are really a few of the companies. We also do, you know, so we do life insurance. Then we also do, we do some speaking engagements. So I do a lot of speaking throughout the, you know, throughout the nation. What else do we do? Sometimes I actually forget, you know, we also provide small business lending. So we provide consultation to small business owners for their funding needs. Credit repair, very big. We do credit repair. You know, so we do a lot of things. We do a whole lot. And our goal really was to become, my vision for my company initially, just Badu Tax Services alone, or just me as an individual, I want to be known as the guy that you can reach out to and you can have everything. You know, you can reach out to me and I'll direct you to anything that you want. but the foundation was the taxes. You always got to have a foundation. So for me, the foundation was the taxes, and then it just ended up into this enterprise that, you know, we're multinational. We're in the U.S., we're in Ghana, we're in India. We're growing very, very fast. I mean, we're definitely growing fast when it comes to the brand and the company and all that good stuff.
Cool. So, with the Badu name, mm-hmm. So Rihanna's father has gotten in trouble because he's using Fenty. So how come, is it just because Rihanna went after it, or what's the difference? How come you can use Badu?
Because for one, Badu is not really a trick. It's not really, so Badu is, it means the 10th in Ghana.
And it's a last name.
Exactly. It's a last name. It means the 10th. It's my name that I was given by birth, you know, by child. So that's why I'm able to use it. Currently, I don't see any like trademarks or anything online. I'm actually planning to trademark the name, you know.
Oh, nice.
So and within the next few, you know, next few months or so, you might see trademarks everywhere. We are in the process of going through things like that. But and also the Badu Foundation, very big, is coming out pretty soon.
I'm excited for that. I want my own foundation, so I have to come get you back so you can talk to us about how to do foundations with the Badu Foundation, or no, the Badu Enterprise. Okay.
Enterprise, yeah.
So now I want to talk to you about how often do you change your business plan? Because I think that a lot of people get so caught up on, I have to have this business plan before I move forward. And if we're being completely honest, for me, like when I first started, I didn't really have a business plan. I had an idea and I had like a service, and I just kind of ran with it to make sure that one, people would actually buy my services.
Exactly.
Once they purchased and I knew that it was a real thing, then we sat down and we figured out how I was going to actually diversify. And so now it's like the implementation of that that thing. So I just want people to understand maybe your method of how you're supposed to go. Like, say I'm working full-time at a healthcare agency and I want to start like a fashion business or a fashion retail store. Do I need a whole business plan, or should I just get my vendor list and get my store up and at least sell 10 items before I figure that out? What do you think?
Yeah, remember the 5-step model. First thing, know what you want to do. Second thing is you got to research. Third, you have to have a business plan. No business on this planet really will thrive if it doesn't have a plan. And, you know, when it comes to a business plan, it always has to adapt, you know. What your business plan is now is not going to be the same 10 years from now. And if it is, you're going to go out of business. Blockbuster, for example.
Okay.
You know, Netflix came out, Blockbuster went out of business because their plan wasn't updated.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you one thing, not to bash any companies or anything, but H&R Block, for example, too many offices. I believe that's the next big company that will, you know, go out of business pretty soon. Of course, this is coming from an insider, somebody who knows the industry very well.
Yes.
Too many offices, you know, locked in, a lot of leases. And this is all public information. They're a public company, of course. So, locked in too many leases, charge way too much. You know, business model is not, anytime you hear somebody, they're either, if they're going online, they either say TurboTax. I mean, that's really all they say. They never really say H&R Block.
Got it.
So with my firm, we're trying to become that, you know, that middle ground between somebody you can go see in person and then somebody who you can do things with remotely, you know. So we're providing a platform. We also have a mobile app similar to these companies, so we're adapting. We never thought about a mobile app when I first, back in 2010, not
right,
even close.
Right, when you had that first business plan.
Exactly. Yeah, so now we have a team of 20 people. We have mobile app, portal. We're in, you know, 3-4 different countries. Over 1,000 clients. I didn't think we would get to that level. Our goal this year is 2,000 clients. And then within the next 5 years, 10,000 clients.
So, I'd be sending people your way.
Yeah, we definitely
appreciate. We need to look at my referral rate. I'm just kidding. Okay, so now I want to talk about what you wish that you had known. So a lot of our listeners are either entrepreneurs or they're thinking about taking that leap of faith. So if you could share 3 things, either ideas, advice, something that you wish that you had known when you was younger, or maybe something that you had wished you known last week. Like, it really could be anything.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I didn't know the importance of having mentors and coaches early on in the game.
So how do you get your mentors if you're someone that doesn't have any?
So if you're not somebody that has mentors, you have to, the first type of mentor you need is somebody who's an industry expert, somebody who knows way more than you in your industry. So for me, I have a CPA coach or CPA mentor.
Okay.
This guy has coached over 1,000 CPAs in the country, very successful. My pricing model has now tripled because of him.
Nice.
Our revenue has basically, revenue per client has tripled, you know, just because of his advice. So find somebody who's in your industry, who's an expert, and then find somebody who's just a general business, like a savvy business individual.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be, I would recommend you have two mentors or coaches, one in your industry, one outside your industry. The person in your industry knows your industry very well, and they can share things from a insider perspective.
Uh-huh.
Somebody looking from the outside looking in, they can give you some of that insight, saying, okay, well, you know, they're not an accountant, so they can't really, they can tell you certain things that, okay, maybe a client might be turned off by this. You know, they see things from a different perspective. So one thing I really wish I would have known was really getting started early. For example, had I met this coach 3 years ago, my pricing would have been 3 times back then, as opposed to now. You know, now it would have been even 3 more times.
Mm-hmm.
So my revenue would have expanded by, let's say, 9 times, essentially. From basically back then until now. So I wish I would have known that. Another thing I wish I would have known, the importance of a team. I mean, it's I kind of knew it, but I didn't really know how big a team was. Now we have, you know, 20 people on the team, just in a tax firm. In a real estate company, we have about 40, you know. So team, I think if I had got started early with a team on my side, I think I would have been, you know, far along the way. Of course, everything happens for a reason, but I would definitely say that teams are extremely important. You have, you know, I have my admin person, my assistant. I have my remote tax preparers. Now I have reviewers, so people who can actually review the returns.
Mm-hmm.
I have my independent contractors. We have about 10 right now,
mm-hmm.
who prepare their own taxes, do their own thing, and we get a split of the revenue.
Nice.
Now, you know, in 10 years or 5 years from now, we're trying to get to 1,000 contractors, basically using the franchise. We're not a franchise, but we use the franchise-based model or the independent contractor model, so that way we can expand. So I wish I would have known how important teams were. I mean, my team would have probably been at least 100 people by now.
Nice.
And now we have 20. The more people we bring, the more we grow, the more the revenue keeps coming in, the more impact we make. And then the last thing I wish I would have known, this,
mm-hmm.
I mean, this one is, I guess, tough. I mean, I always understood the importance of giving back, but I wish I would have known the importance of giving back financially earlier on. You know, for me, anytime I give back, I'm the type of guy, I give back a lot and non, you know, a lot of different ways. But this year, I found that monetary ways of giving back really make an impact. So I'm starting to, you know, I'm starting scholarship funds given to the homeless. You know, our nonprofit is really going to be centered around the homeless. Church, for example, paying tithes and all that
mm-hmm,
stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes you feel, to me, it just makes me feel even better. I mean, I was giving back in a lot of different ways before, but financially now, when you give, you receive, you know. So
yeah.
I wish I would have known the importance of giving back financially. Back then too.
So before you were just giving your time, now you're
exactly.
giving financially.
Yep. So both time and financial.
Nice. So for people that are trying to get in contact with you, go ahead and drop that contact information.
Yep. So you can reach me in a million different ways. So I'm one of the few people that actually gives out my, you know, my phone number. It's a business phone number, but you know, people call me all the time on it.
Mm-hmm.
My phone number is 773-679-7198. You can call me, text me. Just don't call me after midnight, you know, because that's my bedtime.
Okay.
You can email me, you know, jeffbadu@gmail.com. We are coming out with like a more branded email. But you can also email me. You know, I have business emails and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Find me on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat at JBADU32. You can find me on Facebook, Jeff Badu. You can find some of my companies, Badu Tax Services.
Yeah, that's really big.
Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, social media is huge. I mean, I'll tell you really quickly the way that I do my media now.
Go ahead.
I have a radio show every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Central Standard Time on WJT 98.3 FM. That's where the content is actually created. So once that content is created, it gets posted on my Facebook. You know, we stream it live on Facebook. We get about, you know, 200, 300 viewers.
Mm-hmm.
The station itself reaches 2 million people or so.
Nice.
But my Facebook actively, you know, on average, it's about 300 people or so. And so from there, it goes on my YouTube channel. From my YouTube channel, on my podcast, I have a podcast now, the Badu, the Money Talks Badu Edition.
Where can we find that?
iTunes.
Okay.
So from the podcast, it goes into an article. And then from an article, I actually wrote a book, The Legendary Asset, 6 Reasons Why You Should Own Real Estate. So, you know, you have one content that can turn into like...
That you're repurposing over and over again. I love it.
I really love that word, repurposing, because that's what my coach told me to...
Yes, repurpose.
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, the idea is to ultimately, and this is what I share, the idea is to have your existing content see new eyes versus creating new content for the existing people. Exactly. Once they're in, you really need to just have new people see your stuff. So then you don't have to work so hard because it's so much easier to share content than to keep creating it, in my opinion.
Yeah, I was getting burned out. I mean, nowadays I'm even bringing guests on my radio show now because...
You got to come up with.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't use their content per se, but I might write an article and just chime in on some things that they said.
Mm-hmm.
And I might say, oh, you might look into this, of course, quoting them, giving them credit where, you know, where it's deserved. But yeah, you are right. And I'm glad I'm sitting next to a marketing expert. Lord knows. I mean, I've always been in marketing. I was the chief of marketing of Pyramid Productions back
then. And they were just on the episode before.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There you go. Yeah. See how life works.
Yes, full circle. I'm bringing all the Illini on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now we're going to go into the lightning round. So the lightning round is where I name a word and you tell me how you are navigating it. So I'm going to give you 4 of them. So the first one is balance. How are you incorporating balance in your life?
Well, I'm glad you asked that. This is a huge part of my life nowadays. Well, balance, you know, there's work. And to me in life, there's 4 different things that you have to have, like, on point at all times.
Okay.
Spiritual, mm-hmm. mental, mm-hmm. physical, mm-hmm. and emotional.
Okay.
You got to have those 4 down packed at all times. And I actually put out a Twitter post about this. But, you know, spiritually, I listen to gospel music every single day, 8 hours every single day.
8 hours?
8 hours of gospel.
So while you're working, you just have it playing, okay.
Have it straight up playing. 8 hours of gospel, it uplifts the spirit, it keeps my mind, you know, mood is everything. Our coaching session today with my coach was on mood. Mood is everything, you know. Your mood determines how everything is going to go. So when my mood is good, you know, I'm able to communicate better with clients. I'm able to give better talk shows and things like that. So spiritually, you know, that's one thing. I also joined my church's choir. So yes. I actually do sing for my church. I did that this year and, you know, I'll probably lead a few songs here and there. I've always had the spirit or the ambition to sing. I've actually made a few songs in the past.
More to come.
Exactly. There you go. Non-gospel related. But now I'm into the gospel and I found that even elevates it. You know, listening to gospel is one thing. Singing a gospel is a whole nother thing. That took me from level 1 and level 10. You know, so my energy level is a lot more now. So spiritual is, you know, down packed. Of course, you know, close to my pastor and all that good stuff too. Mentally, how am I improving that? I read at least 2 hours a day. So for me, reading is very important. So, you know, I read 2 hours a day. I read 30 books a year. You know, and I also do some meditation exercises. So before I go to bed, I meditate. You know, I see how the day went and how I can get better. So that's the mental side. So we talked about spiritual, mental, and now let's talk about physical. I hired a personal trainer, you know. There you go. So last year I barely worked out. This year I'm in a gym at least 3 times a week doing very intense workouts. I mean, my body's probably going to get like really big here over the next like 3 months or so. So I hired a personal trainer, going mm-hmm. to the gym a lot more. My energy level is like on a whole nother level when mm-hmm. it comes to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also eating better. So my doctor told me, hey, you got to eat better. My fitness coach, he said, hey, you know, you got to eat better. Remember, coaching is very important. So on the physicals, oh yeah, and I get 8 hours of sleep on average every single night.
Me too.
Yep.
I will get my sleep.
Exactly. So
nothing going to stress me out.
Oh yeah, that's the same thing I told my coach. I'm like, this year in 2019... there's nothing that will stress me out. Absolutely not. So not a client, not a parent, not a friend, not a family. Nobody's going to stress me out in 2019, you know. So on a physical side, working out, eating better, sleeping better, and I'm feeling better too, which is most important. And then last but not least, and this is where like sometimes it lacks a little bit, and this is where it kind of gets a little personal, but the emotional side, I am an avid poet. You know, I write poetry a lot. So for me, I love doing, you know, you should, in life, you should do things, you should do the things that you love to do. So for me, I'm writing poetry. you know, as far as like things like dating life and all that, I'm still a single individual in 2019. So there's no quote unquote companion, I would say, or
shoot
no partner.
Shoot your shot 2019.
Shoot your shot 2019.
We don't know who's listening.
We shooting all day,
you
every day.
You gave him your phone number and everything.
We shooting from, you know, we shooting from half court. We shooting from the 3-point line. We shooting from, we doing everything in 2019.
Hey, speaking, getting everything else. Let's go ahead and speak love into.
Absolutely. Yeah, so. Exactly. So from an emotional standpoint, you know, I guess the nice thing with the four is that they all tie together. You know, your physical ties directly to your emotional and your, you know, your mental. If you have good physical health, your mental should be also pretty decent. And if you have bad mental health, your physical is also probably bad. So for me, you know, when it comes to the emotional side, you know, for one, I'm talking to, so not... Let's just get out of the love story a little bit and get more into like family and friends too.
Yeah, relationships.
Exactly, relationships. So I'm surrounding myself with better people.
Nice.
I don't, you know, if somebody is draining my energy and somebody's causing havoc, you know, doing bad things in my life, they're gone straight up. You
nice.
Know, just that text.
New
that
friends.
Call.
2019.
New friends. I mean, it's like friends have truly changed my life, and now I surround myself only with people that help me advance in life, and I can help them advance in life as well. So, you know, just getting rid of people, just like cutting off people that, not like in a, you know, in a rude way, but just, you know, sometimes
just
we
yourself,
exactly
yeah.
just distancing, just like, you know, sometimes when you ignore somebody or when you just take a step back, it's very important. So just, you know, talking to more people, making sure my family is on board. My mom is a huge business partner of mine, so it makes our relationship that much better. But yeah, from, I would say one area of my life, if out of those four things that are lacking, it's probably the emotional side.
And that's, but I think that that's very mature and adult to say, hey, this is one area of my life that I need to
Absolutely.
Probably give a little bit more attention to because it's the one area that I'm not doing as well as I would like.
Exactly.
So yeah, it's very mature of you. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Okay. So... one thing that I want to kind of discuss, as you kind of touched on, is relationships. And more so like friends. That's I think that that's kind of where things change. I know for me personally, I feel like my friend group is changing all the time. And as you go through the journey of entrepreneurship, a lot of people just kind of... will be there, but in a very minute way. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't do anything for you, but they may not, whatever. And it's a difference between support. Like, my friends are not my target audience, so I don't even expect them to do anything like that.
Exactly.
But when I first started my brand, like, I wasn't making a lot of money, so it was just a lot of things that I didn't do because I couldn't afford it. Now that I can, you know, it's so weird. Even though it only took, like, a year and a half, but... it's a weird gap between like, oh, you're not the same person that's going to go out every weekend. And it's like, well, I probably wouldn't have been that person had I worked 2 years. You know, the 2 years, 2 years ago, Danielle should have been different than the 2 year now, Danielle.
Exactly.
And I feel like that's how everybody should have been. So I say all that to say, like, what are your feelings? Because I know from the female's perspective, how we feel, but how do men feel about, you know, different relationships and friends that maybe were really close in one season not being the same in the next?
Yeah, I mean, I would say for me, I'm fortunate enough, the same friends that I started with, entrepreneurship journey, they're still here, you know, they're still supporting. I think from a male's perspective, you know, as an entrepreneur, you're in a spotlight, or at least somebody who's thriving as a thriving entrepreneur, you're always in the spotlight. You're always like being watched. People are always consistently like doing things. And it can even tie back to the whole relationship, not on a friendship side, but, you know, the love life side.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you attract certain people, you know, as an entrepreneur. But to chime in on a point, I mean, I don't think that as an entrepreneur, it's certain people, you just have to like make sure you keep a distance. And here's another very important point. You have to know the right type of clients to associate with. Because if you don't, some clients will drain you. Like, some clients will drain you physically, mentally,
major key.
Emotionally, and spiritually. And, you know, and you have to be able to pick out those clients and say, hey, either you talk to them and say, hey, these are the things that are happening. I don't like the way this is going.
Mm-hmm.
Or you simply just say, maybe it's time to part ways.
Yeah.
You know, so that's more on the client side. From a friendship side, you know, as an entrepreneur, it's very important to surround yourself with good, like-minded people.
Yeah.
So I think that, I mean, once you become an entrepreneur, you all of a sudden become busier, quote unquote.
Yeah.
You know, you don't really have the time to be messing around with certain types of people. You know, like for me, I used to do certain things. Now, I don't even, especially around this time of the year.
Oh, yeah. Lord knows, tax season, you busy. You gone. I,
somebody texts me like, you know, yo, let's go here. Let's go. And I'm like, nope. Tax season. That's my response to everything. So, you know, for me, like, I only spend time nowadays on things that are valuable. For example, I don't cook anymore. I don't clean my place anymore. I don't do laundry anymore.
Right.
I don't do any of that stuff anymore because of the fact that, you know, you outsource, you delegate, emails, phone call, you know, things like that. So, but when it comes to more on a personal level as an entrepreneur, the same way that, not the same way you treat your clients, but the same way that you treat your business, you know, in the seriousness of your business, is the same way you should treat your friends, your family.
Yeah.
And even family members have been cut off. I mean, straight up, you know. If somebody's not adding value to your life, you simply gotta go.
I love it. That's a word. You're going to have people out here reevaluating their friend group after this conversation.
Yeah, I do not assume any liability. Disclaimer.
Well, thank you for that. I think that is something that a lot of people don't touch on. Like, it's so taboo, especially family members.
Exactly.
Like, at least in the Black community, like, people are like, oh, that's your cousin, even though your cousin is a drainer and doesn't do reciprocal things for you.
Exactly.
So I think that is something that is very important. Mm-hmm. Do you go to therapy?
I do not go to therapy, okay. But my business coaches.
I feel like
coaches,
that's going to be the next thing for you. So
my business coaches are my therapists.
Okay. I mean, that's fair.
My pastor is my therapist.
That's fair.
My mother. It's my therapist.
Mama always gonna have your back.
Exactly. So, you know, my pastor, he was like, man, there are marriage therapists out there that are getting divorced.
What?
Yeah. There are, you know, psychotherapists that have a mental problem.
Well.
Can you imagine? You know, so for me, instead of, and this is a very important thing, I think a lot of people need to, like, notice, need to pay attention. When it comes to an actual therapist, you know, just find different people in your life that you can surround yourself that can help you in those areas. You know, my pastor helps me spiritually. My fitness instructor helps me physically. My mom helps me mentally, you know, and also emotionally. So when it comes to like an actual therapist, just find certain people in your life that you can go out and reach to. Some of these professionals that call themselves professional therapists. They're trained, of course, you know, they have the licenses, hopefully at least. But I mean, I think that the people that really know you and really care about you, most importantly,
mm-hmm.
are the people that are closest to you. So to me, it's not that I don't believe in hiring therapists, but I think that if you can find somebody that's really, really good in an area, even though they don't have a license or they don't have anything, then take advice from them. Like, for example, relationship advice. You know, who better than to take relationship advice from than my own mother, who's been married over 30 years? Why would I go to a marriage counselor when I can just go see my mom, who's been married over 30 years? Or why not go see my pastor, who's also been married, you know, 30 or so years?
Right.
And they, Exactly.
So what I think I'm hearing you say is, mm-hmm. as you're starting to build your circle, make sure that your circle is someone that you can pull from, exactly. as well as also feedback into them.
Absolutely.
But a lot of times we kind of sell up. I guess people look at their circle as like one way. Like, I see mm-hmm. you as my pastor and that's it. But it's like, hey, you can also help me in certain types of ways. And I know your pastor is actually a really great businessman. So yeah. he's also able to help exactly. you in other ways.
And he's one of my clients. I give him financial advice. Mm-hmm. And he gives me, you know, spiritual advice.
Nice. So the next portion is going to be the what you need to know. So this topic, this week is going to be all about money management and how to save. So if you can give us maybe three different apps that mm-hmm. people can download today to really start saving and, you know, get ready to be the best client for you.
Yeah, so I'm glad you asked that. You know, Mint.com is awesome. Mint.com is a free platform. Mm-hmm. It's a budgeting tool that allows you to budget your money. It's free once again. You know, you don't have to pay for it. All you got to do is download the app where you can go on a website. You link all your accounts to it. You know, your check-in, your savings account, your credit cards and all that. And you can build a budget within Mint. It does take some getting used to in the beginning, but it becomes clockwork once you get used to it. So Mint.com is awesome. For my business owners, similar to Mint is QuickBooks. Mm-hmm. Got to get QuickBooks as a business owner. Keep track of your business income and expenses. It's as low as $5 a month.
Yeah.
You know, you can track your miles. You link your bank account similar to Mint, you know, Intuit, which I happen to be a shareholder of, which Intuit, ironically, is an ally and a competitor of mine. But I bought shares in the company because, nice. Man, that company is doing really well.
Nice.
But they created, you know, QuickBooks, they created Mint. and then the last platform that I would say is Robinhood. If you're looking to take yourself to the next level, you know, it's one thing to save money, it's one thing to budget. But to truly take yourself to the next level, you have to invest money. You know, so Robinhood is a free trader. And all these sites, except for QuickBooks that I mentioned, are free.
Mm-hmm.
Robinhood is a free trading platform that allows you to invest money in different stocks. For example, I own companies like Apple, General Electric, AT&T, Microsoft, Google, Berkshire Hathaway. All these different companies, you get to own stock in them. And when you own stock in the company, you get to make decisions. You know, you're an actual owner of the company. Every time an iPhone gets sold, you make money. You know, just like a kid when I used to buy Jordans, had I known that I could buy Jordan stock, I would have probably made some money back then.
Yeah.
You know, so Robinhood is something that can take you to the next level. My big advice, get started early and do it often. Do your research before you get into anything. If you want something that's hands-off, then do a site like Acorns. Acorns is similar to Robinhood.
Mm-hmm.
They only charge $1 a month unless you're a student. And you basically, they invest your money for you through different index funds. And basically, you don't have to do anything. You just choose what investment level you want. So you can be slow growth,
mm-hmm.
Conservative or aggressive. For me, I'm pretty aggressive when it comes to investing.
Yeah.
So that's all you got to do. Just choose it. Invest. For me, I invest $10 a day minimum. So for the rest of my life, even when I become homeless, I will invest $10 a day for the rest of my life.
I love it. Okay, great. And so the last portion is going to be our listening letter. So this listening letter is saying, hey, or dear Danielle, I'm starting to get more money within my business. I really want to make sure I'm properly saving and investing. Can you give me some tips on what I should do and how I should save?
Yeah, so the very first step to saving, budgeting, or any of this stuff, or just saving in general, is you got to have a budget.
Okay.
Your budget is your foundation. You know, what happens when you build a house and it doesn't have good foundation? It crumbles, falls
mm-hmm.
apart.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing here. The reason why a lot of Americans, you know, a lot of people in America feel like they're broke is because they don't have an adequate budget. They don't know how much is coming in. They don't know how much is going out. So you have to have a budget, lay the foundation, know your income, know your expenses, and then most important, know your disposable income. Once you find your disposable income, you ultimately multiply your expenses by 3. You know, this is my rule. So you take your expenses, your monthly expenses, multiply by 3, and that's going to be your emergency fund. You stick this money in a savings account. Make sure it goes in a savings account. Once you hit the 3-month rule, then it's time to really invest. So at once you hit that 3-month of expenses mark, mm-hmm. saved mm-hmm. in a bank, mm-hmm. Then it's time to invest. That's when you start with a platform like Acorns. Then you go to Robinhood. So Acorns is more hands-off. Robinhood is more hands-on. So that's my model. That's my, I would say, 3-step model is get your budget, fill out your emergency fund, and invest. Now, here's a bonus. Invest through retirement. Do not invest through individual accounts. So invest through the IRAs, the 401ks, mm-hmm. the health savings accounts. You know why? OJ Simpson, you know, money is protected. Nobody can touch it because of the fact that an IRA, 401k, and HSA, they are bankruptcy protected, at least on a federal and sometimes even on a state level. I know in the state of Illinois, they are.
Yeah.
So if let's say hypothetically, you know, let's say I had $1 million in an IRA account
mm-hmm.
and I had zero money in my savings account.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a car, nice car, you know, after a party, I made bad decisions.
Mm-hmm.
I run somebody over. They yeah. sue me.
Uh-huh.
They can get the car, but they cannot touch a penny in the
money.
IRA account. Exactly.
Love it.
But if it's in a stock, in an individual stock account, they can take all of it.
Okay.
Exactly.
So wait, so when you do your stock, mm-hmm. that's not protected, right?
Exactly. Your you stock. Have to okay. do it through an IRA or a protected vehicle, like an IRA, like a 401k.
Can you do stock within the IRA?
Oh, yeah. You can buy an IRA. I mean, my IRA owns real estate. My IRA owns stocks. My IRA owns a lot of stuff. My IRA can own businesses.
Okay.
You know, my IRA that owns real estate is done through an LLC, limited liability company.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it actually owns a company, and then the company owns real estate. So you want to invest through these means. You don't really want to invest through individual. And as somebody that has been sued before, trust me, I understand the power of asset protection.
Okay, I love it. You just dropped so many gems. I feel like I need to book another session with you.
There you go.
All right, well, thank you so much, Jeff, for coming on this show and dropping so many gems. I think that anybody, regardless of where you're at in your area as far as wealth management, saving, or even just trying to figure out week to week, day to day, how to budget yourself, you've done and shared something that can help with anybody. I know I am already on some of those apps, but I'm gonna make sure that I'm on a lot more. And I need to come to you to figure out this IRA because I'm trying to buy some houses this year. And I don't want to get sued. So we got to figure this out. Or if I am sued, I want to be like OJ, where my kids are still benefiting and I'm in Vegas
OJ
with
money.
The Hooter girls as soon as I got out of jail because I'm taken care of because my daughter's paying for all my bills. So I want to be like that. And so you just pretty much broke down how it happened because I was confused too. I'm like, I know that the kids have access and ownership, but I'm not understanding exactly what happened, but you just really broke it down. So thank you so much. Drop one more time where people can find you. And then for those that are looking, just click the description and all of his links are there for you to book a session, check out some of his free tips, look at some of his show episodes and things like that. Go ahead and tell us how they can contact you.
Absolutely. So first of all, thank you, Danielle, for having me on your show. It's truly an honor to be able to speak to people, to be able to inspire, motivate, and all that good stuff. So I appreciate that. So you can find me on social media at Badu, J-B-A-D-U 32. And the reason why it's 32 is because that was my number in high school. Basketball team, but JBadu32 on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. So those are the you can find me on there. You can also find me on Facebook. Just type in my name, Jeff Badu, JEFFBADU. You can call me anytime, 773-679-7198. Remember, just don't call me after midnight. You know, so or you can also email me, JeffBadu@gmail.com. You can visit my website, jeffbadu.com. We look forward to a successful year. Tax season is hot, you know, locked and loaded. We got a lot of people doing a lot of stuff. All 20 team members are pretty much being, doing some work as we speak mm-hmm. right now. Mm-hmm. So tax season is hot. You know, be more than happy to help out anybody with their taxes.
All right, you, and stay tuned for the next episode. Bye, guys.